from around the globe. In sold-out arenas and humble churches. From out on the streets. To your screen. And now, the time and what must be done. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
Greetings to you. I am Minister Louis Farrakhan, National Representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that great preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to the black man and woman of America and the Western Hemisphere, and to the Aboriginal people of the earth, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, and a warner to the government and people of the United States of America, and a warner to the nations of the earth. In this 54th edition of The Time and What Must Be Done, I'd like to talk to you about the life-giving, life-sustaining, life-perpetuating part of this great wheel, the mother plane, that is referred to in the scriptures of the Bible in the book of Revelations as the New Jerusalem. The life that is on it, the wisdom that is on it, the science that is on it can benefit each and every human being on this planet. We would also like to talk to you, if it is the will of Allah, about that shadow government that hides the knowledge of this great wheel, even from the presidents of the United States that the American people have elected. As we have been sharing with you in these broadcasts of The Time and What Must Be Done, the representation of the great Mahdi, or long-looked-for guide of the Muslim world, Master Farad Muhammad, who is the master of the wheel, and the great Jesus, the Christ. The Christ and the Mahdi are one and the same. For Christ means one anointed with power to crush the wicked. And the Mahdi is one also anointed to set justice in the earth and to set down every tyrant. And we are saying that in our humble judgment, he, the Mahdi, the Christ, is so magnificent. There has never been a manifestation of God like him. And when the Quran says in the 112th surah or chapter, and there is none like him, never has there been one like him who is the master of that great mother plane or wheel. He is the manifestation of all of the 99 attributes of Allah plus a few more. As Allah is always coupling his attributes in this manner, he's mighty, but he's wise. He's strong and powerful, but he's the forgiving and the merciful. He is the avenger and the destroyer, but his power is always balanced with his oft returning to mercy and his forgiveness. He's always balanced. We would have to do something so terrible that would allow him to unleash the fullness of the power that he has. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes of Master Farid Muhammad in The Fall of America on page 241, he writes, "The mother plane and her work is a display of the power of the mightiest God, Master Farid Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever. He is the wisest and the best knower. He is the mightiest of them all." Who else can we submit to as a human being but a human being? Allah says in the Quran, "If you were an angel, I would have sent you an angel. But since you are human beings, I send you a human being." This does not mean that the sender himself is not a human being. In the Holy Quran, chapter 6, titled The Cattle, verses 8 and 9, it reads, "And they say, why has not an angel been sent down to him? And if we send down an angel, the matter would be decided, and then they would not be respited. And if we had made him an angel, we would certainly have made him a man, and thus made confused to them what they confuse." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when the revelation of the Quran first came to him, he looked and saw in four directions the form of a man, a human being, the form of Jibril or Gabriel. Yet it was an angel that carried the message of Allah, the Quran, to the servant of Allah. But the servant of Allah never said that he was the messenger of Jibril. He said, "I am the messenger of Allah." So Jibril, as a human being, was sent by Allah to deliver a message. But in delivering that message, Muhammad, peace be upon him, was made a messenger of Allah. From the history or sirah of Tabari and Ibn Ishaq, it is reported that when Prophet Muhammad returned to the cave of Hira to continue his solitude, he said this, quote, "When I was midway on the mountain, I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'O Muhammad, you are the apostle of Allah, and I am Jibril or Gabriel.' I raised my head toward heaven to see who was speaking, and Jibril or Gabriel, in the form of a man with feet astride the horizon, saying, 'O Muhammad, you are the apostle of Allah, and I am Jibril or Gabriel.'" Again, in the 19th chapter of the Holy Quran, titled Maryam, which is the mother of Jesus, in verse 17 it reads, "So she screened herself from them. Then we sent to her our spirit, and it appeared to her as a well-made man." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also has a saying or a hadith where a man dressed in white came among them and asked them questions about the faith. And then when the man left, the holy prophet asked, "Do you know who that man is?" And they said, "No." Then the prophet said, "That man is the angel Jibril." And from the hadith or saying of Sahih Muslim regarding the angel Jibril, quote, "My father, Umar ibn al-Khattab, told me, one day we were sitting in the company of Allah's apostle, peace be unto him, when there appeared before us a man dressed in pure white clothes, his hair extraordinarily black. There were no signs of travel on him. None amongst us recognized him. At last, he sat with the apostle, peace be upon him. He knelt before him, placed his palms on his thighs, and said, 'Muhammad, inform me about Al-Islam.' The messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'Islam implies that you testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And you establish prayer, pay zakat, observe the fast of Ramadan, and perform pilgrimage to the Holy House if one can bear the expense of the journey. Umar, do you know who this inquirer was?' I replied, 'Allah and his apostle knows best.' He, the holy prophet, remarked, 'He was Jibril, the angel. He came to you in order to instruct you in matters of religion.'" End quote. In the Bible, it verifies the truth of the Quran. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, the King James Version of the Bible, it reads, quote, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant.' And they said, 'So do as thou hast said.' He came with two men, and he told Abraham that these men or angels, he is sending them to Sodom and Gomorrah to tell Lot his intention to destroy Sodom for the abomination that they were practicing. When God told Abraham what his plans were, Abraham was not completely in agreement with God, but God loved him so much, he was patient with him. He wanted his servant to agree with his intention to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, 'Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me? And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes, but peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And the Lord said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord again. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. In all the scriptures of the Bible, it said Abraham appealed to God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find one righteous person among them. And Allah again said he would not destroy it if Abraham could find one righteous person there other than Lot and his family. And Abraham came back and said he couldn't find one. And the scripture says, On that same day, fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. These verses demonstrate the great love and patience of Allah with Abraham and his desire for Abraham to agree with his judgment and his intentions. It also teaches us his absolute hatred for that which the people of Sodom were engaged in. People of America, do you think that Allah God has changed? Do you really think that God approves of your same-sex marriage? and of the growth of homosexuality and lesbianism among the people? Do you really think that Almighty God Allah is pleased, America, that you are trying to export this to Africa, to Asia, to the Caribbean? Do you think Allah is pleased with you for bringing the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah to the entire world? Then why would the scriptures say, as it was in the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man? I want to say to our people, Allah God is the same with you. He has made known his intentions to judge America for her evils done to the black man and woman of America, and for the evil that God has forbidden. America says it's all right. And you are not quite in agreement with his intentions. He desires your agreement before he does it, so that all of you may be in agreement with his intentions, that all of you may be saved. And that is why this destruction has not yet taken place, but it's above our heads. He's giving time to the enemy to submit to his conditions for your salvation or your extension of time. And he's giving time for us in our wickedness to repent and clean up our lives to be worthy of the fulfillment of his great promise to us. In last week's broadcast, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1972 said, whenever a servant of God has been sent to deliver a message, and in that message is contained a threat, he sends an angel, and that angel is saying to the messenger of God who they are, what their intentions are, and it's comforting the messenger, letting him and his followers know that when the time comes that the threat would be fulfilled, that the angel will be with that servant. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Master Farad Muhammad said, before that great destruction takes place, the wheels will come over and leaflets will be dropped and angels will be in the various cities telling the people which way to go to avoid the wrath of God. Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, Allah manifesting in him, a human being. He is the master of that wheel, anointed with the power to do all the things that he's in the world to do. And with him is that one that your scripture teaches you, one that was raised from the dead and is now sitting at the right hand of God, and that the God or the Mahdi has turned over all power into his hand except he himself. The Jesus Christ that you are looking for is the master of that wheel. The Jesus Christ that you, my Christian brothers and sisters, say that you love, that you say died for you, is the master of that wheel. But this time, he's not coming to teach you. You have already been taught by all the prophets, and I represent them, and I am a final teacher to you. After me, I am sorry, because the Christ that I know, that has sent me is not coming back to play with any one of us. He said in your scripture, the same Jesus that you saw going away in a cloud will return in like manner at the head of 10,000 saints. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, it is written that Jesus met with his disciples after his crucifixion and his resurrection, showing them that he was in fact alive and not dead. And he told them that the power of the Holy Spirit would come over them, and finishing what he was instructing them to do, he then was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. It reads in verses 9 through 11, and when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And again in Revelations, the first chapter, the seventh verse, it reads, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Why is that? Because before he was taken up, they abused him. They scourged him. They rejected him. They lied on him. So when they saw him coming back, they were in great fear because they attempted his death and because they knew what they had earned of the power of their destruction. He didn't come back to forgive them. This is why they were wailing. In the scriptures, in the book of Jude, the first chapter, verses 14 to 15, it reads, quote, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. As we said in the last broadcast, right now, Allah is whipping everybody on our planet little by little with weather, rain, hail, snow, earthquakes, fire and water, tornadoes, hurricanes, and soon great earthquakes. But even in that, he's still, in fact, showing mercy. Because he can take us all out in the twinkling of an eye, but he's trying to show us that he has power over the forces of nature and has power over you and me. How many flights in this recent freeze have been canceled? One day, 10,000 flights were canceled. This teaches you He can keep your planes on the ground. Not just your commercial planes. He can keep your fighter planes from leaving the ground with the power that he has over the forces of nature, as we shared with you last week. Some of you have tweeted me saying that wheel represents the devil. Well, I know that you don't believe that. But if you are a devil, that wheel represents your destruction. So naturally, you would want it to be something else. But I am telling you exactly and actually what it is. Some of these that are talking to me are saying that these people on the wheel are talking about the New Age. Please, let me help you with your statement. There will be no devil giving you insight into the New Age, because no devil will be in the New Age. The age of the devil ends here. And any one of us that survives, we will be in total submission to the will of God. Otherwise, our end is now. I represent the wisdom of the New Age. For the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man to even conceive what lies beyond the destruction of this present world. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, it reads, quote, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And this is why we chose the subject, that great wheel, the new Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem is finished. It's no more a holy city. A new holy city is coming down from heaven. None of these cities that you call holy are holy anymore. You can't have a holy city with devils running it. You can't have a holy city with wickedness going on and the so-called holy ones are tolerating and happy with wickedness. That means that out of every city you call holy, then the Holy One from Mount Paran, the Holy One of the children of Israel, the Holy One will make holy ones to inhabit the Holy Land. That land called the Holy Land is about to be purified through war. I know some of you are saying, how can you speak like this? Some of you have written me and said, I wonder why they haven't shut you up. Some of you have even said, why aren't you dead yet? Well, those of you who have the power to kill the body, you have that power. If it pleases Allah to shut me up. But that would be a foolish thing for you to do, since I'm the only one on the earth warning you of what you are going to face, and you would shut me up? That's like turning off an alarm and the fire has just gotten started. Turning off a fire alarm? Whoever would do that is an enemy to all those who might be burned in such a fire. Who would do such a thing but an enemy? For a fire alarm is what keeps innocent people from burning up in a fire. I am the fire alarm for you. But remember, anytime you get ready to attempt to turn me off, know that when you try to turn me off, at the same time, you're turning the heat and the fire up on yourself. And each of you that are talking about the coming of God in the name of Messiah, in the name of Christ, in the name of Mahdi, you are not talking about the coming of a spook or a spirit. You are talking about the coming of a human being. Revelation 21, verse 3, it is written, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." This is not referring to a spook or a spirit, but to a man. Now that we have come into the knowledge of the destructive power of the wheel, there's another aspect of the wheel that gives life. And this is referred to in the book of Revelations as the New Jerusalem. Before I go any further, I'd like to speak a word to my Muslim family, especially to the critics who say, if you're a Muslim, why don't you speak from the Holy Quran and not so much from the Bible? My dear Muslims, you don't have my assignment. I am from that great Messiah that the world is expecting, that is written of. Look at what is written of him in the Holy Quran, chapter 3, titled The Family of Amran, quote, "When the angels said, O Mary, surely Allah gives you good news with a word from him of one whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, worthy of regard in this world and the hereafter, and of those who are drawn nigh to Allah. And he will speak to the people when in the cradle and when of old age, and he will be one of the good ones." And she, Mary, said, "My Lord, how can I have a son and man has not yet touched me?" He said, "Even so, Allah creates what he pleases. And when he decrees a matter, he only says to it, be, and it is. And he, Allah, will teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord that I determine for you out of dust the form of a bird. Then I breathe into it and it becomes a bird with Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leprous and bring the dead to life with Allah's permission. And I inform you of what you should eat and what you should store in your houses. Surely there is a sign in this for you, if you are believers. And I am a verifier of that which is before me, of the Torah, and I allow you part of that which was forbidden to you, and I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. So keep your duty to Allah and obey me. Surely Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So serve him. This is the right path. End of quote. What is the difference between God revealing the book and God teaching the book? Allah, God, has revealed scriptures, which is revelation. And he revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Holy Quran. However, revealing the book and teaching the meaning of every ayat of the book is different. Allah gives to his prophets some of the inner meanings of what is revealed, but he has not given the full meaning of all that he has revealed to his prophets. Each prophet is able to give some tafsir or meaning of some of what God revealed to him up to a point. Because a prophet comes from Allah, God, in the absence of God, and his light is considered as moonlight. So even his tafsir or understanding cannot necessarily give you the full light of what he has in his hand of revelation. However, if you have met with God and he spoke to you, that's different. If he sent a prophet or scientist to give you a part of the writing, yet he never gives you the full understanding of what you have in your hand. This is why some of the prophets made mistakes in thinking that they were the one that would end. Jesus made a mistake thinking he was to end the civilization of the Jews. Could it be that there was a mistake made in the time of the prophet? That we are 1400 years ahead of the time of the coming of the great Mahdi and with him the Messiah? And of course, it is not necessary to give the fullness of the meaning if you are a prophet. That's why Paul said, we know in part, so we prophesy in part, and when that which is perfect has come, you do away with that which is in part. So when is that is perfect coming? When God makes his appearance in the world, that's when things are made perfect. What are these scriptures that we read? What is it a sign of? It's a sign of the presence of God. That you don't have to look anymore for the presence of God, because when a man is present doing only what God can do, making the blind see, making the deaf hear, making the dumb speak, cleansing the leper, and raising the dead to life, then know when a man is present and that work is going on, God is present in that man. You are not dealing with a prophet anymore. You're dealing with that which fulfills all that the prophets have written. Revelation does not mean a full explanation. Otherwise, why would the Quran say that you have the right to attempt to interpret the Holy Quran? Well, if God is giving you the full explanation, there is no interpretation of man's that is equal to the interpretation of God. So when it says in the Quran, this one that comes, Allah will teach him the book. Oh, that's different, because the book has already been revealed, but we don't understand every ayat of it. Taught means he explained it to him. He opened up the inner meanings of the book to him. He taught him not just the Quran, but he taught him the Torah. He taught him the gospel, and he taught him the wisdom. You cannot reach the people of the Torah just by quoting the Quran. You must know the book and the people to whom that book, Torah, was revealed, and teach them out of their book, as the holy prophet Muhammad himself did. He talked to Christians out of the gospel of Jesus. He talked to the Zoroastrians and others out of their scriptures. He knew it all. That's the only way he could unite the whole human family into one great brotherhood. Yet Prophet Muhammad never gave a complete tafsir of the Holy Quran. Don't mind me teaching from the Bible or the Quran or the wisdom you say that you study and know, or empirical knowledge that you hear me giving to you out of science, astronomy, mathematics, biology, physics, chemistry, history. I go where my teacher has taught me. So don't be upset. Some of you have even asked the question, how do you know all these things and all these different subjects? It's because I'm a student of a great master whose intention is to make you and me a master as well. The scriptures said, Jesus speaking, I thank thee, Father in heaven, for keeping these things from the wise and the prudent man and revealing them unto babes. We are the babes that have now been blessed with the supreme wisdom of God. And it also says in the scriptures that the wisdom of this world is as foolishness with God. I don't speak to you of foolishness. I speak to you of the wisdom that Allah God revealed to his servant, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Many of you, dear Muslims, have asked us to take out point number 12 of the Muslim program that is found on the back page of Muhammad Speaks and now the inside back page of The Final Call. Some of you have said you would not even look at me and us as Muslims as long as point number 12 is what we believe. Well, point number 12 says, we believe that Allah came in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi of the Muslims, Messiah of the Christians. And he will set up a kingdom of peace wherein we all can live together in peace. And lastly, we believe that there is no God but Allah. Well, I don't wish to add something to myself that Allah has not added. That would not be wise. But I never listened to you. I left it there. And I've said to Muslim scholars, there's something for you to learn from it. It would be wise for us as Muslims. Why don't you listen to your brother? You don't have one speaking to the open enemy of God and yourself, like Allah is causing me to do. Look at the confusion among you. So if you think I am in error, then leave me alone. But I have two backing me up. And it's only a matter of time before you will see that what I am telling you and teaching you from them, the two that are on the wheel, is the absolute truth. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that wheel is 40 miles above the earth. And that bombs are dropped from the height of 20 miles up. And those bombs are guided. He uses the atmosphere to guide these bombs. Master Farad Muhammad said to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he was among us, he said, I would climb a mountain 40 miles high just to teach one, and I would eat rattlesnakes to free you. And when God begins to reveal his wisdom, it's like dropping a bomb on you. I think there's a band that was very popular in the 70s, the Gap Band. I think they said he'll drop a bomb on you. Well, that's what we're doing now. There's a motor on that word. There's a drill on that word. In the same way that there's a drill in the bomb that drills into the earth, goes down a mile before it explodes, there's also a drill in the word that Almighty God Allah has revealed to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And whenever that word contacts you, it begins drilling down into your consciousness, using the atmosphere that surrounds your life. And soon, when you realize the truth that you have heard, there will be an explosion like the cracking of an atom, releasing power and force from within yourselves. And what is within you will come out. And what is in you that must come out? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, but it is buried under the filth and rubbish of this world. Now you know there's no mountain 40 miles high. But when I was carried in my experience to the wheel, I told you a scroll rolled down in front of me with cursive writing on it. And that what I saw in front of me was what was being written inside of me. I cannot say how high the wheel was when I was blessed to enter it, but I'm with you now. I'm back now, dropping bombs, using the atmosphere of America and the world to guide the word. The atmosphere, your condition, is guiding the words to your inner being. Oh, brothers and sisters, the mountain that is up there that the prophets had to go up on before they could get up in the wheel. I went up on a mountain when I went up on the wheel. I went up. I didn't realize that he brought me up there to teach me. Your whole world of Islam, our whole world of Islam, needs correction and reformation. The whole world of Islam needs to be resurrected. For the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in What the Muslims Believe, we believe in resurrection. And we believe that this resurrection is spiritual, more than physical. And we believe in the resurrection of the righteous, which is our world of Islam. And we believe that the black man and woman of America in our condition is most in need of resurrection, and therefore we will be resurrected first. Your spooky minds needs to be awakened to the reality of the mathematics of the Holy Quran and the mathematics involved in the teachings of the prophets of God, even though they used allegorical language. Look at what it says in the Holy Quran. Some of the verses of the book are decisive and some are allegorical. Well, what does that word decisive mean? Decisive as an adjective means one having the power or quality of decision. Two, putting an end to controversy. Crucial or most important. Three, indisputable, definite. Four, unsurpassable. Commanding. Well, those words tell you that what we're dealing with is just like that. Whatever is decisive is that. And what is the meaning of allegorical? It means a symbolic work, a work in which the characters and events are to be understood as representing other things and symbolically expressing a deeper, often spiritual, moral, or political meaning. But those in whose hearts is a disease or perversity, they prefer the allegorical rather than the decisive. But it is the decisive verses that are the basis of the book. If Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had explained or given the meaning to all of the Quran that Allah revealed to him, there would not be any need for this advice that Allah gives to those who have a desire to interpret. He's giving us rules of interpretation. This means he's giving scholars the freedom to use your knowledge, to use the beauty of your spirit and love for Allah, his messenger, and the truth, to add your scholarship, but he's giving you guidance and rules. But look at what the Holy Quran says. In the third chapter, verse 7, it reads, He it is who revealed the book to thee, Some of its verses are decisive. They are the basis of the book. And others are allegorical. Then those in whose hearts is perversity follow the part of it which is allegorical, seeking to mislead and seeking to give it their own interpretation. And none knows its interpretation save Allah. And those firmly rooted in knowledge, they say, we believe in it. It is all from our Lord, and none mind except men of understanding. Allah is so gracious. He gives the scholars a chance to interpret the word of God. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was taught directly from the mouth of the great Mahdi, he told me that he wouldn't give 2 cents for all your scholarship. And as great as your scholarship may be in your own eyes, you are far off from the real meaning of the word. Could this be why the world of religion is in such a confused state? That you are divided due to envy and jealousy and splitting our religion into sects and parties? All of this is done by the scholars who believe that they know what the word means. So the scholars have divided the house of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and religion as a whole. And unfortunately, they've created more confusion and more bloodshed. So what is needed today? It is the presence of Almighty God Allah in the person of the great Mahdi, the great Christ, to end this guesswork and definitively give the meaning of what God has revealed. And that is why the last messenger is called a light-giving sun. When the sun is shining on any object, you can see it as it is, much better than you can see something in the light of the moon or in any lesser light. Prophets were not the light of the sun. Prophets are considered moonlight. That does not say that God cannot come in person and teach directly from his mouth. And that's where the Muslim world and the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad may disagree. Did Moses speak to God face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend? That's what the Bible says. The Quran says differently. But look at how God taught. That Moses of 4,000 years ago was a sign of the one at the end of the world, that God would meet him face to face and speak to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And our father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, promised me when I visited with him on the wheel that when I had done that one more thing that I had to do, He said, I will not allow you to see me now, but when you have done that one more thing, when you come again to the wheel, I will permit you to see me face to face. And he will give me what he promised me. And that is the next guidance. He told us before he left, he said, what I have given you is just a wake-up message. But you look a little sleepy to me. You have not yet awakened. But the next teaching that he gives us will be the new teaching for the new age, and the wisdom of that book, which was written in Arabic by the hand of Master Farid Muhammad. He offered that book to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when they first met. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he gave him an Arabic Quran and told him, read. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, but I can't read this. He said, read. And Elijah Muhammad said again, I can't read this. So Master Farad Muhammad gave him an English Quran, or a Quran translated in English. And then he told him, when you have learned Arabic, I will give you an Arabic Quran. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that that Quran that is written by Master Farad Muhammad represents the last 10,000 years of this 25,000 year cycle of the history of our original nation.
On February 24th, 2013, during his Savior's Day address, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want.
7 days times one nickel a day, 35 cents a week. Do you have it?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that painless?
Yes, sir.
You know you don't like pain. Look at this. 52 weeks in a year, so that amounts to $18.20 per year. And if everybody in this room, everybody listening by television, everybody under the sound of my voice gave $18.20 a year, multiply that by 16 million in the working force. Now we got $291,200,000 in just 1 year. $291 million. Look at the power of pennies, nickels, and dimes if all of us did this. Can you see the picture? Look. We want to do exactly as Isaiah the prophet said. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations.
With your support of Muhammad's economic blueprint, we can obtain farmland, build industry, and create jobs for our people. Through pooling our nickels, dimes, and dollars, we can rebuild the wasted cities and provide a future for our children. To support Muhammad's economic blueprint,
go to economicblueprint.org and register now.
Are you in agreement with what we must do to end our poverty and want by accepting a program to put our nickels, dimes, and dollars together and make them work for us as a people? How many of you are in agreement? Would you just raise your hands?